as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
Welcome to another episode of the Verbal Echo Podcast. Today, my guest is Brownell Landrum. She's an author, inventor, songwriter, and explorer of metaphysical mysteries. In addition to being the host and executive producer of the Life is a Trip Reincarnation Stories podcast and the author of The Inn and the upcoming We Meet Again trilogy, she's the author of over a dozen books and screenplays ranging from nonfiction to fiction, including the Duet novel series, 5 Reasons Why Bad Things Happen, and children's books and more. Her stories can be summarized as lose yourself in the fiction, find yourself in the truth. She digs deep into the heart and soul of the human experience, incorporating humor, mysticism, love, and life. And her areas of expertise and metaphysical topics she enjoys include reincarnation, past lives, fate, destiny, and free will, purpose, and passion, and delving into the why. Welcome, Brownell.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's always fun to listen to your own bio being read back.
Like, oh, is that me?
I know. The first time someone read mine, I was like, whoa, I didn't know I did all that stuff.
It is fun.
Yeah, that's half of it. Well, welcome, and you're all the way from Atlanta.
I'm in Atlanta now. I was in Colorado, as I said. So we were in near neck of the woods for a long time. And then I spent the last year traveling, going all kinds of places. So I don't know where I am anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another Colorado person. I'm excited to have another former Colorado person just down the road from me at one point. Yes. I'm steeped in all that Colorado energy. So we're going to dive into, let's talk about your podcast first.
Okay.
Tell me or tell us how you came up with the idea and the story kind of leading up to that.
Yeah, it's been really incredible. I started a Facebook group about a year ago, and that's same title, Life is a Trip, Reincarnation, a Past Life and Afterlife Stories. And I wanted to create a place where people could share stories. And I make it really clear that they could be fictional or factual. Because, you know, a lot of times people get into these groups or into these discussions like, that's not how it works, or prove it to me. And I have found just in my own writing, through my own novels and other stories, that fiction almost, you know, has more power because people can suspend their disbelief, they can enjoy the story, and they can open their minds. And so when we take the onus off of it to make sure it's proven or factual or fits a particular conformity, and people just tell stories, they entertain first, right? And then they educate later. And so I started the group and for people to tell stories. And then I realized I wanted to get more stories. And even though I write all these stories, I don't want to be the only one. There are other people writing some of these stories, but not enough. I mean, there's over 1.5 billion people on the planet that believe in reincarnation, 30% of Americans, and there aren't enough stories. So I started doing a contest, and the first one was a short film script contest. And then the next one was a short story one. And so for the short film one, we got different screenwriters submitting it. And then we had actors perform the roles on the screenplays. And it's just the quality and the variety of the stories we got are just so much fun. I mean, some are very heavy, some are comedy. You know, some of them are just really super spiritual and deep. They can range from a variety. We have somebody writing a funny ghost story. You know, the only rule we have is that we don't want horror stories because that's kind of not what we're about, right? We don't want to scare people about this. And so I started collecting the stories, and then a few months ago we had them, you know, collected and put up on a podcast, and really with the intention of the fact that I really think these stories can change the world. When people realize that they've lived before, that they'll live again, they'll have more commitment to the planet. When we realize that we've had lifetimes as every gender, you know, male and female and in between, we've had lifetimes in other religions and other nationalities and other socioeconomic groups. All of a sudden, you know, all this prejudice we have on the planet kind of goes away if you've been at all, right? Or you're going to be next time. So it's fun. I mean, it's really fun writing and telling reincarnation stories. So I just get a blast out of it. And it's just been so much fun to see writers. We have somebody from the Philippines and some at Ireland and New Zealand. I mean, these storytellers are coming from all over the place, and it's just great.
So they're coming onto the Facebook page, the group, and then you're just collecting these stories. It's just kind of a growing collection. And then you put them all together and just... Now, are you're reading them off or for the podcast, or how are you...
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Some of them are read by the writers. Sometimes the writers are submitting it with their own recordings of their own voice. Some of them are read by professional actors. We are on IMDb, so the writers and actors get IMDb credit, which is super fun. And, you know, it's really great way for some writers and actors to get that extra exposure and get their names out there. So it could be a variety. Yeah.
That's really cool. That's a great, yeah, that's really, it's what a collaboration. What a little community you're building with that. That's really cool.
Yeah, you know, I found when I did the first contest and I was awarding the winners, I got more thrill out of announcing the winners than I would have if I'd won a contest. You know, it was just, it just really, and I see some writers who are professional writers and they've never written reincarnation, and then they have an idea and they're writing it. And then I see some people that maybe have their own, what I call more of an account, or, you know, this is my experience. They have to learn to turn it into a story. So we have a little class on how to turn your story into a story that I did at Zoom. So people can, or recording on YouTube, so you can watch that. So you can learn a little bit about storytelling. So it's not just, oh, I remember having a lifetime as an Egyptian pharaoh. It's like, no, let's turn it into a story, right? And make it beginning, middle, and end. And, you know a lot about stories. You do a lot of writing and podcasting. So anybody there out there that does have a story that they think will fit, I know we're going to get inundated in the near future because we're going to have a lot of people. But, you know, if it fits, then we'll look at it and we'll read it and we'll see if it's going to work. And then we'll see how we can get it on the podcast.
So it becomes fictionalized. You take this reincarnation experience and you fictionalize it into a story.
Well, you can. I mean, that's why we kind of have this blend between fictional or factual. Okay. I tell some people who like, oh, well, I think I might have had this lifetime as, you know, fill in the blank. I'm like, then start writing it. Mm-hmm. And you never know really as you're writing it, whether it actually becomes real or not, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, it could be, you know, the truth. And I know you're going to ask me about my story called The End later. And that was written that way. Like, I just was kind of guided to write a story my coach said, oh, you need to write a story to help people know what you're writing when you're selling your novels. And as I'm writing, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm writing the truth, right? I'm writing something real. And I thought it was starting out fiction. So who knows whether it's, you know, fictional, not fictional, and who cares, right? If it opens minds and people are entertained and, you know, it's a good.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into that. Tell us about the end.
Yeah, that one, you know, I lived in Colorado. Last summer, my landlord decided to raise the rent 50%. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I think I need a plan B. And so I went on this adventure where the novels that I'm launching, The We Meet Again, which again, we'll talk about, I got all these different balls in the air. But that one, a lot of it's set in Italy. So there's a little bit of a spoiler in there. So you'll know you're going to go to Italy. And it's also a reincarnation story. So with multiple lifetimes and multiple time periods. And so I thought, well, I'll go to Italy, you know, and I thought I could get a visa, and I got an apartment for a year and found out, nope, they weren't even taking applications for a visa. So that wasn't even a possibility. So I had to go somewhere for 3 months. I went to Italy for 3 months, but I had to go somewhere for 3 months in between before I could go back, because that's how the tourist visa works. And so through a series of experiences, I chose Tunisia, and I went to Tunisia for 3 months. And it was so interesting because as I'm, you know, my coach says, you got to write the story. And I started writing this, what turned out to be a true story. And it's from the point of view of what I call the upstairs. So I think there's a team up here. You know, if you're not watching, you're listening, you can know that I'm pointing upwards. There's a team up there that was working hard to get me in this situation. And I call them traffic angels, where like, if you're here and somebody else is over here, and I was a woman in Colorado, American woman in Colorado, and they wanted me to meet a British man in Tunisia, like, how are they going to do that? And so, and it's from their point of view, like how hard it is and how frustrating it is for them to try to get us on track. I look at them like border collies, like they're going to whack us right back on track if we go off track. And so it was just this incredible experience of writing this and then realizing this was really happening. There really is a team upstairs. They really were guiding me to meet this person. They were making a lot of decisions. They were rewarding me when I did what they wanted me to do. And you know, I want to make sure to offer anybody listening, you can read the story for free and you can download. I've actually had two people tell me they thought it could be a college course, and it's just a 9,000 word story, and it's entertaining and funny and also really, you know, powerful. And you know, can I prove it's true? I don't know, but it feels true to me, and it's really manifested my life that way. Really, really interesting.
It's almost like you're talking about manifesting, and then you have your divine team behind you, behind the doors. You know, you're manifesting things that you want to have happen in your life. And then you have this universal knowledge, the divinity of moving the cogs and the wheels and the gears in place to get you where you need to be to meet that British man or do right. this job or meet this certain person that's gonna, you know, like, oh, I still believe in it. It's so interesting. Yeah,
exactly. And the conflict for me, and I don't know if you're like this, but I was pretty goal driven, you know, most of my life, and I'm not a young person, like, but I kept running into obstacle after obstacle, like, why is this not working? And I went on this journey, like, why can't I get a visa? That's what I want to do. I want to go here. I got kicked out of my apartment, essentially, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's not up to me. They've got a plan. And I just got to get in the flow and let them guide me. And I'm literally living a nomadic life. Like right now, I'm in a hotel room in Atlanta. I'm not sure where I'm going to end up. I think I'm going to go back to Tunisia for a little bit later this year. I found a beautiful luxury resort on the Mediterranean for $1,000 a month, including two meals a day. So I'm like, I think I can do that again. And it was a great writer's retreat place for me. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to be guided. And so I have to be super loose and just take it however they give me, you know, whatever view they give me in the future.
Just go with the flow, trust the process, all those things that we say.
It's hard. It's hard. You know, it's hard to not know.
Yeah.
and go, well, I want this. And they're like, yeah, well, maybe, but not now. We'll tell you if you're going to get it later.
Yeah. Let's talk about synchronicities. Did you have any synchronicities that got you? That maybe, you know, we're talking about manifesting and like moving the gears, you know, someone's in charge. Did you have synchronicities that led up to getting to Tunisia?
You know, well, just that that there was a bunch of things, factors that kind of led there, right? Like I said, the fact that they weren't, I talked to an attorney, he thought he could get me a visa. I couldn't get a visa to stay longer than 3 months, so that forced me. Also, one of the reasons Tunisia was kind of interesting, and I think it was, I don't know if you want to call it a synchronicity or an implant from above that says, look out for this when it happens, you know, one of those kinds of things. But I actually had a fan of my original novels, the duet novels, in Tunisia. And I found that very interesting because they are reincarnation stories and she's Muslim. And, you know, I always find it really interesting to see people that may not have grown up with the belief in that, but like stories about it. And then I also did, and I'll put a lot of caution and caveat to this, but I also went and did a Bufo retreat in Barcelona in November. And I don't know if you know what Bufo is, but it's DMT. It's a psychedelic.
Yeah.
And it's totally legal in Barcelona, one of the best research centers in the world, medically supervised. Do not do it without medical supervision and legality. I can't stress that enough. I've seen some horror stories, like the, you know, the Matthew Perry thing wasn't Bufo, but it's a similar story of you need to have the right people to guide you through it. But it, what it does on a physiological level is opens up the neurotransmitters of your brain. So none of this other stuff would have happened if my brain hadn't been open to these possibilities. It changes your perspective. It's really very effective for addiction, for PTSD, for dementia. I mean, it's like doing all these things on this really cool brain level. And it makes you look at your patterns and habits and go, oh, you know, I know I always do it this way, but I'm open to something else. And I think that was a synchronicity. You know, a friend of mine had called me and she's like, 20 years of therapy in 20 minutes, you've got to do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I talked to my therapist. He's like, yes, you've got to do it.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. So I went, I actually wrote an article about it. I'm happy to share that too. Because it, you know, my We Meet Again novels is about a famous couple from history that's reincarnated today. And one of the people in that famous couple came to visit me in that Bufo experience. So I got like this, you know, talk about synchronicity or connection or guidance or whatever it was, you know, I was like, oh, wow, now I get to talk to the, you know, the dude, basically.
That's a pretty significant synchronicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Really, really powerful stuff. But like I said, don't do it any unless it's legal, mm-hmm. you know, safe, medical, all of that stuff, because it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, most plant spiritual medicine is very powerful, and having a guide is really important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't take this podcast for any kind of medical advice. Just out there.
Not only get a doctor, get the right people, do it legal, all that stuff. And I mean that not just because I'm covering my butt, but because really, really, really is important. I mean,
right.
There are horror stories of what can happen to people if they don't do it in mm-hmm. right conditions. But I did, and I was able to, and I didn't have to travel to Costa Rica or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I could do it just a hop over from Florence.
Interesting. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And now you have a new novel trilogy coming out.
Right.
And you're doing pre-sales for it?
It's on order. Yeah, it's on pre-order. Yeah. It launches September 17th, so I don't know when this will come out, but mm-hmm. 99 cents for the first book, so you get to check it out. And yeah, I've been working on it for years. It's one of those, and I wanted to make sure to finish the trilogy and launch it as a trilogy so that, you know, people don't have to wait forever to get the next book. And I'm just really, really excited about it. It starts with a modern day couple, and they start remembering a past life. And the first past life they remember is in the 1930s in Brazil. And then that starts opening up this big mystery. It's kind of like a Da Vinci Code mystery with Outlander love story in a reincarnation setting. So it's, you know, it's kind of like all of that together.
I love Outlander. Oh,
yeah, me too.
I'm so hooked on it. And although the last season was just kind of depressing, but I still love the story. Diana, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but
Gabaldon, I think.
Gabaldon. Anyway.
Yeah.
So
you put that when you made the reincarnation, right? So you could meet them in other lifetimes, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's not just the same characters, but like, you know, I've got them also meeting in the Renaissance in the 1500s, you know, and a totally different situation and totally different, you know, mm-hmm. people. And they actually meet Shakespeare and John Dee and Giordano Bruno during that. So, and then another lifetime is during the Black Plague. So, you know, all these different experiences, so you can reintroduce characters. I mean, it's so much fun to write, really. I mean, you can reintroduce these characters in different situations.
Sounds like you're a history buff.
You know, it's funny because I don't know that I ever necessarily thought I would have been. That wasn't necessarily my best class. But when you start kind of pulling together relationships and we start looking at our own past lives, I mean, do you know any of yours? Have you done any delving into that?
Oh, I go so far into the woo-woo, there's not time for it here. The answer to that question is yes. I have many spiritual hits every once in a while. My most profound one, it was so funny, not funny, but just strange. I was sitting on an airplane and I always do a meditation after I buckle in because I get anxious on the plane. So I usually put in, you know, just some, you know, like some hemi sync or, you know, just some spiritual music or whatever. And I usually do a closed eye, quiet little meditation. Well, I went pretty deep. And before you know it, the plane was already taken off and I had had this unbelievable meditation, past life regression thing. And it was so profound that I grabbed my notebook out and wrote down as many details as I could. It was so bizarre. So the only way I could describe it was some kind of a past life regression thing. Sitting on a plane. I mean, okay.
Yeah, well, and you know, a lot of people have my first memory was what I call a dreamery, right? A dream that's a memory. And so it's like, I kept having this recurring dream. What does this dream mean? So, you know, you never know where those memories are going to come forward. And now my next question for you is, did you get something from that experience that helped you today? Like, did it give you some enlightenment on anything that you were dealing with? Because usually that's my experience, is that it comes forward when you need to know something.
I would say it was very much about female generational trauma.
Wow.
So it was really, it took me a while to unpack it.
Yeah.
I would say many, many generations ago that there was a really huge imprint upon my soul. And it was really such a cool thing to experience. And I, you know, wrote down all the details that I could, and I'm still trying to figure it out, really. So I'm hoping
that someday that is the story for our podcast.
Ooh.
You know, I mean,
that would be fun.
I really mean a lot to a lot of people too. You know, and I think it's interesting because you look at your trauma from a past life and then your bodies carry whatever DNA trauma from the body that you chose, right? Because before we're born, we choose, you know, our situation and our circumstances, we choose our body, basically. And then your body has whatever that generational stuff that might happen within the family. So, you know, but then you also choose the body for a reason. So maybe there's something tied into that. Either way, that kind of generational trauma is just so crucial. You know, I've been doing some research about something where, you know, the attachment style theories, if you've done any research into that, and seen, like, you know, most of those people that have the real issues were treated poorly as children. And you're like, but what's their hope then? Like, how can they get through that if they can't recognize what they're going through now and how they're treating people now because they were treated when they were a child? And that's just this lifetime.
You know, I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and this guy was interviewing a manifestation guy, coach, whatever. And she was talking about how they did this study on, I think it was rats, how they carried trauma for 13 generations.
Good Lord.
Like, yeah, it was really interesting. And they carried it epigenetically for 13 generations. And it was like, it was such a basic, it was a really scientific study. They just had the rats and they exposed them to a stimulus with something traumatic, you know, like a sound or light or flashing lights or sound or whatever. And for 13 generations, when they, I can't remember how they tested it, but there was a correlation, how they tested their, it tested some kind of blood marker. So it wasn't just that they were reacting, but they tested this blood marker or something. I can't remember. Now I got to find that. Now I have to find that study, but it was really fascinating hearing about it because we do carry that and we give it to our kids and then they give it to their children and they give it to their children. And for I heard that, and I thought 13 generations, that's crazy. So yeah. For us to not accept that we might be carrying something from our ancestors it's just not true, you know, like, of course we do. So it's really interesting if we can dive into that.
Right. And then, like you're saying, from the soul level, that's from the body level. Then you've got from the soul level and what you're meant. And, you know, I do believe that, in fact, I write about this in my my first book, which is The 5 Reasons Why Bad Things Happen, you mentioned, is, you know, I do believe that before we're born, we kind of draw out a roadmap of the things some of the things we want to experience in that next lifetime. And, you know, it might be I want to experience, like, for me, for one thing, I want to understand what abuse is like. And that could either be karma, like, oh, I abused somebody, so I need to know what it feels like. But it also just could be I might want to be a guide or be more compassionate to people who've been through that situation. And you get a lot more compassionate when you've been through it. But for whatever the reason, I must have signed up for that because it was like, that's a checkbox. It's like signing up for college classes and you've got to, you know, got to get the curriculum. And so
I love that.
When you look back and you're like, okay, well, and I think we kind of draw out a red map. And then when we get here, because you mentioned, you know, the fate versus free will. When we get here, we decide, are we going to sit in an intersection our whole life? Are we going to keep taking right turns and go around in circles? Are we going to take the high road or the low road? Are we going to go off road? You know, that's when we start looking at things. And so we can kind of make better decisions and help us get past that. And if there is the generational trauma or the soul trauma, what's the lesson in that, right? What's going to take you transcend that so that you can be the one to break that cycle, you know, and you can elevate your soul, really, kind of, that's kind of the goal.
That is the goal. I believe in everything you're saying. Snap, 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 snap.
Yeah, okay.
I am on board with that. You know, it's interesting because I really, truly believe that we do select the people around us. I feel like we have our soul family, our tribe.
Yeah.
And every time each character, we get reincarnated as different players. And those different players, we're here to help each other grow and move toward enlightenment. So we might play a different role each time. And that's what I truly believe. And I think a lot of other people believe that too. So who knows? We're here on this planet. We're alive, living a human life. Like, we don't know.
We don't know.
It's fun to think. It is fun to think, but it's also part of our growth to try to figure it out here also. And I always laugh when I hear people being interviewed and they say, oh, well, this is the way it is. Like, how do you really know? You're alive, living a human life. And when I don't know.
Yeah, and that's honestly, that's one of the reasons why the fictional or factual was so important is that, you know, and it's important in our group because if somebody comes in let's say somebody writes their story and somebody says, no, that's not the way it works. I'm like, no, you don't understand the vibe of this group. The vibe of this group is we're open and we're going to, you know, we're not going to judge anybody. There's a lot of different variations on these kinds of stories. And they all are going to teach us something. I mean, if whatever it comes up to, you know, like I've said, if I have 25 members of the group who all thought they were Marilyn Monroe in their previous lifetime, they all think it for a reason. We don't have to prove who was really Marilyn Monroe. They all probably have a very interesting story, probably different stories. And whatever's coming up is what they need to focus on and learn. So whatever you got on that airplane, you know, is something that, you know, like you said, took a lot of processing. And it was a message that somebody, and I would call it the upstairs, that it's time for you. Let's open up that. Let's open up that little door number two. And, you know,
right.
The Price is Right or whatever game it was. You know, open up that door so you can, or let's make a deal, I think it was. Anyway, I'm showing my age. But, you know, the opening it up for you, right? It's like, okay, now is the time she needs to see this. It wouldn't have met the same if it had been X number of years earlier or whatever.
Definitely. Yeah. I think I heard it when I needed to hear it. And yeah. I'm still thinking about it, you know? So maybe I'll have another enlightened meditation where I can dive a little deeper, peel back another layer of what it means.
And write the story.
Yeah. And I got a name too. It was really interesting. I got a name and some really good details. It was really fascinating. We'll connect over that.
I'd love that. Again, that would be fun. And you know, my legacy is to have more of these stories out in the world. And if somebody that writes a story in on our podcast and Hollywood calls them, I would be thrilled. You know, it doesn't have to be my own stories. You know, I like sharing mine and I like people reading mine. And I love reading others and sharing others. And the more we get this out there, the more, you know, the more interesting it's going to be. It's like I said, it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You don't have to believe in time travel to enjoy Back to the Future. You don't have to believe in reincarnation to enjoy these stories. You know, it's just interesting. And, you know, you're talking about the tribe. You know, I look at the definition of a soulmate as someone you were destined to meet, right? Which means on some level, you knew them in another realm, right? Somehow, you know, you were connected on that level. And it doesn't always mean it's happy. It doesn't always mean it's positive. It doesn't mean it's lasting. It just means it's, you know, for a reason. And, you know, the story, the end that you were asking me about, you know I was supposed to meet that British man. They wanted me to meet him, right? And so sometimes when you have that kind of connection, you're like, okay, this is important. I've got to pay attention. What is it I'm supposed to learn here? And sometimes you learn it and then it's move on. And sometimes it's like, no, I want to keep learning. And or maybe it's we have destiny together. You know, that's what we have to figure out. Like you said, we don't always get all the information. We
just, the universe has a way of making you pay attention. And it's really interesting to think that you might have work to do with this person that you meet. And so the way that it interweaves and connects is just, it's so fascinating to see all those synchronicities. And here's, you know, this morning I had another interview for, the podcast this morning, and we were talking about this exact same thing about building a community. And so I think that's really interesting. That's a synchronicity. We were talking about this exact same thing about building a community and collaborating together to create content and communication and, you know, to help each other out instead of trying to do everything on your own, you know, trying to do it all. It's better if you have a community of like-minded people and you take on a big task together. And it's so much more powerful, you know, like what's that saying? Yeah, rising tide lifts all boats, you know?
Right.
And it's just interesting that there's a little synchronicity that the two people I interviewed today were all talking about the same kind of thing. I love it.
Right. And whatever your topic was this morning, the community might have been determined, you know, that might have been a soul contract or something that, you know, that whatever that community that you're going to build was part of what you signed up to do.
Yeah, I like it. Really interesting. Oh, I love this stuff.
I can see that emoji with boom blown on your head right now, you know.
Oh, I love this stuff. It's so fascinating to me. And it's that, you know, I always tell my friends, like, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's just like, I'll just send my friends things like, look at this. Look what just happened. Like, you cannot make this up. This is so real. This is crazy. Like, the older I get, the more synchronicities keep happening to me. And it's just, it's so fascinating.
It is. And that's what, you know, again, that's why I want these stories, and I want your story, and I want people to read these stories and read your story and see, and then add more meaning and depth. Because, you know, as you said in my bio, you know, I really am kind of obsessive about getting to the why. So like, if you got an illness or something, there's a reason. And so I, you know, I've done some healing work in my life. You'll read a little bit in that story. And I was told in my Bufo trip, I needed to do more healing work. So that was like, okay, I hear you. And I, for me, I feel my fingertips just like tingle. Like I could shoot fire from my fingertips when I'm being guided to do healing. And I also learned the first time I ever did any healing work on anyone, if you don't get to the why, then they're going to get something else. They've got to get to the lesson. They've got to get to the why. It's happening, as I'm, you know, of course, wrote the book on everything happens for a reason. It's happening for a reason. So what's the reason? You get to the why, you can get to the healing so much faster. So the more we dig deeper into the whys, you know, and like, well, why can't I get over this person? Or why can't I stop obsessing about this missed opportunity or whatever? There's something you're still supposed to learn. You know, it's not just walk away. It's learn. And then you can maybe walk away or heal or grow or embrace or whatever it is you need to do.
That's so true. That's why we heal.
Yeah.
You know, if you fall down, you skin your knee, you put a Band-Aid on it. Great. You're it's going to heal. Why did you fall down? Were you wearing old shoes and this, you know, like get to the bottom of where you have hurt yourself. And exactly. That's how you move forward so that you don't keep falling down. You know, what's that poem? I have it right here. I want to read this.
Yeah.
Maybe you've read, I'm sure you've seen this. It's by Portia Nelson. Do you know which one I'm going to read?
I don't think so.
Okay. So it's called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. It's, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street.
Oh, I love that.
Portia Nelson. I've got it like printed out. It's almost a really, I'm not sure where, who, you know, what was the reason why she wrote it, but it kind of reminds me of, it's almost like a recovery poem.
Yes.
You know, it's like a mantra for recovery and it kind of in that realm. I think.
Yeah. Well, it's less, in fact, you know, in my Reasons Why book, you know, there's 5 reasons why bad things happen. And one of them, you know, spoiler alert, is a subconscious sabotage. And when I realized that the body is the subconscious, that was the mind-blowing experience for me. And I have a story in there where a friend of mine was a workaholic and she was going to work all Labor Day weekend. And she goes out to get Thai food, walks out of the restaurant, trips over the curb, twists her ankle, and she's in bed all weekend. Her body was going, hell no, I'm not working all weekend, right? So you can get to the why they fell in the hole, and your poem says, okay, I know why, but they didn't explain what the why is. So, you know, my book kind of explains what the why is, like why, not just because you weren't noticing or because you knew it was there, but there is something to, you know, maybe that person becomes a street repair, or maybe they become a politician to repair the street, you know, Maybe they're there to warn other people about the dangers of holes in the road. I mean, who knows what the why is. Maybe they are supposed to go down that different street, and that's where they're going to meet the person that is going to be to change their life. You know, that's the deeper level I want to go. Right.
I love that. Oh, I love that. And I think about that kind of stuff way too much. Like, okay, so I'm late for work. Okay, I screwed up. I'm late for work. However, what just happened to me? You know, like there's always like.
You could have missed an accident.
Exactly. Yeah. I could have ran over a nail and gotten a flat tire or whatever. I always think about those kind of things a lot when I'm late for. Well, there was a reason I was late.
There are stories like, I mean, I think statistically, at least this used to be true last time I checked the data, which has been a few years, but that planes that crash don't have as many people on them. Like a lot of people don't show up for the planes. Like you can't tell me there's not something going on there when that happens.
There is. There so is. And I think it's definitely divine guidance.
Yeah.
You know,
the upstairs, I call it.
Mm-hmm. Or think about all the people in the Twin Towers that didn't show up for work that day.
Yes.
All the people. And there was a, you know, we talk about the victims, and to any families that are out there, my sincerest, deepest sympathies. And we do not talk as much about the people. And there are a lot of them that felt called to not go to work that day, that something told them, do not go. And those people have done amazing things for others. And so when I think about things like that, those tragedies or whatever, and those people, they were meant to do more things here.
And sometimes we need those wake-up calls, right? Sometimes we need those near misses or those opportunities or go, wait a minute, you know, like I said, the hole in the road, don't just leave the hole there. I mean, like, how can you leave the hole there, right? Isn't your purpose to, and even if other people are supposed to fall in the hole because there's something they need to learn, they'll find another street with another hole if that's what they're supposed to learn. But for you to just leave it up to them to keep falling in the hole, you know, other people to fall in the hole, I think is kind of irresponsible. That's my, you know, my soapbox on that. You know, you got to do something about it. And whatever that might be. Cause it probably happened for a reason, you know, and hopefully the fifth reason why is kind of what we're getting on, which is, you know, there's a positive, you know, silver lining, or, you know, some sort of positive thing that can happen, even if it feels like something bad happened, right?
Right.
So it's, it all kind of ties together. And, you know, like I said, for this story, the end, you know, I am writing a sequel to it. I've had a bunch of people say, well, that can't be the end. And I always say, well, is it ever the end if it's a reincarnation story? Like, you know, how many ends, you know, that's the fun thing is, like, they always say authors, you know, kill off your characters. Well, you can in a reincarnation story because you can bring it back in another lifetime and start all over again. But you know, I am writing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So you're doing, okay. So you're talking about the end and then the trilogy you have, do you have the stories kind of all picked out for the other two books?
Oh, it's all written.
Okay. You're just releasing the first one.
I'm releasing all of them. A special deal on the first one, but they're all coming out in September. So, you know, I don't know about you, but as a reader, you know, it frustrates me if I have to wait a year, you know, a certain length of time to read the next book. I want them all. So
I think we live in that society of Netflix binging, Hulu, you know, we want to be able to binge the whole series. It didn't used to be like that. And I'm showing my age, except for, you know, like reruns of TV.
Right.
when I was growing up, but we do live in that instant gratification. So I can see how you would want to just have it all ready to go.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think the reason we didn't get it before is that it wasn't written and produced before. Right. I mean, people would say, oh, well, let's see how the first book does before I write the second and third. And I just felt so compelled to write this story. And I just had so much fun writing it, you know, that I just put all that time into it to do it. And so I hope people enjoy it.
That sounds great. I ask all my authors for some advice for anyone who is considering writing or is in the midst of writing in the author process. What advice can you give them?
My advice is first to know your vibe. You know what you want to be known for. I have written children's books. I have written little bit sexy novels. I've written screenplays. I've written, like, this one's kind of an epic mystery, kind of ventures into, I guess, the fantasy realm. And I've written fiction, nonfiction. But when you read my books, you'll see my vibe. Like, you'll know what I'm about. And when you, or my screenplays or anything. And once you know your vibe, then it's not about genre. Some people say, oh, you got to stick in a genre. I think you have to stick in a vibe. And that doesn't mean you're telling the same story over and over again. But you know kind of what you want to be known for. So, and I think your vibe also, of course, the saying, the vibe attracts your tribe, right? So, you know, it helped me start my Facebook group that, you know, the Life is a Trip Facebook group, so that, I can pull like-minded people and we can hang with each other and enjoy each other. And it also kind of helps you solidify your why. Like, why are you writing? You know, it's not just you have an idea and want to write it down because you think you have a good idea. If it's not what you want to be known for, if it's not something that makes your heart sing and the ways of telling a story and the kind of message you want to give to the world, I think it's going to conflict with probably what your why is, you know. So that's my vibe.
That's really good. So it's kind of like know your vibe, know your voice, your persona as an author.
Yeah. What you want to be known for, what you're proud of, because honestly, once you get successful, if you do, then they're going to want more of that. And even with me, like I said, you know, they may want to force you to write, like J.K. Rowling, write all YA, you know, magic stories or something. And I know she wrote the other book, which I didn't read, but, or, you know, John Grisham or, you know, any of those people, you know, Dan Brown, they're known for something. You better like writing it, because that's what you might be stuck. But if you have a vibe like I do, and I, of course, you know, other people could disagree with me, but I can cross genres all the time. I can write all different kinds of things because there's still a thematic kind of connection between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think about a lot of the big authors, and yeah, I like that you brought up J.K. Rowling. Yeah, and she did have that one book. I did read it. It was very different, but it was still kind of her thing, you know.
See, that's the thing. You know, it's your voice, right? It's a little bit your voice. But it's also, you know, I think when you start getting to themes and purpose and like all the things we talked about, what are you here for? That's when I think you can really connect.
Mm-hmm. Themes and purpose. I like that you said, what are you proud of?
Oh, I love that.
What are you proud of? That's a really deep question to think about when you start writing. And yes. What do you want to be known for?
And then that'll keep you when you get down or discouraged or, you know, busy or whatever. If you've got a why, that's going to keep you. I mean, I had one of my fans actually tell me that my book saved her life.
Wow.
I mean, really, really powerful stuff. And like, that's my why. Like, that's mm-hmm. why I might not do something that might be more fun or easier, and instead push harder to get this out in the world.
Right.
I want my stories on the podcast to do the same thing. You know, I want your story on the podcast so we can have
people. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to have to connect. So run through, where can people find you? And I do have all of the links, which I will put in the notes. But basically, where can people find you and get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about?
Okay. Well, my name is Brownell Landrum. So I'm the only Brownell Landrum in the world. So it's pretty easy to find me. It's kind of hard for me to hide in that regard. So, you know, I have a website, brownellandrum.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, those places. And the best way really is if you're on Facebook and get into the Life as a Trip group, then you'll get a lot more, you know, idea of my, of what I do in my community and kind of, you know, all the other things that are going on there. So that's a good place that we'd love to have you.
The Life as a Trip group. That's the main Facebook page.
Yeah. And you'll see it's got like a stained glass kind of look. So you can see it's happy and upbeat. It's not heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the vibe of the group.
Awesome. And that's where people can submit their stories.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for just this amazing deep dive into your books and your mission and your vibe and your tribe and and all of it. It's just been really interesting. Thank you so much for coming on and taking some time to share all of this.
Thank you for having me. I've had a blast. I love it.
Yeah. I hope everyone enjoyed this. I know I sure did. Thank you, Brownell.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also. Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.